Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is truly and mightily moved by the Holy Spirit. This is a day that we need the understanding of the Lord. We need to receive His love. We need to walk in His love. Because ready or not, the King is coming. The last theme we had for the whole year was final moments. We're living in final moments. You're about to see a change, some kind of way, good or bad. The Lord is coming. And the revelation that God gave Apostle John is forming. Things are happening. And things are going to increase. Now, my pastor said the closer we get to the return of the Lord, the closer we get to the kingdom of darkness. The closer we get to the coming kingdom, the return of Jesus Christ, the closer we get also to the desperate kingdom of the world. The world's kingdom is desperate. Satan wants you to not know God. He wants you to be involved in what he's doing. He wants you to be on his side. Now, he doesn't love you. He hates you. Everybody that's on his side. Once he gets you off the track of God, he'll tempt you to do things his way. But once he got you, he will destroy you. In other words, there are people who worship Satan. When they die, he destroys them. He kills them. He cuts them up. He hurts them. He punishes them because we remind him of God. We're made in God's image, and you have to understand this. Now, the ways of the world, it's no secret that the world is guided by Satan. That's why people are so reluctant to learn the things of God. People don't always embrace the things of God. The enemy is trying desperately to deceive as many people as possible. Don't think it's so strange that he won't try to seduce people that go to church, people that love God, pastors and grandmothers that love God. Everybody gets tempted by the enemy, either with pleasure or with anger and the frustrations of this life. The frustrations of this life is designed he's trying to accuse God in your eyes by the things that go wrong. And then, you know, time something, a tragedy happened, a child dies, a mother dies, a sibling dies, a father dies, which everybody's going to die. And there's no pattern to how it happens. But he's going to put thoughts in you. The kind of thoughts he put in the average person's mind is, why did God let this happen to me? I thought God loved me. God does love you. But in this world, there's sin. The wicked one is the one who sets things up, in most cases, to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said he came to kill, steal, and destroy. If the enemy killed a lot of people, often people will start getting saved because something's obviously happening that they can't control. And they'll start seeking God. And then God's going to love them, and then they're going to fall in love with God and get in the grace, and they'll be in the grace of God, and they'll be in the kingdom of God, and then they'll know life as it really is, because everybody who believes on Jesus, not just people who ask the Lord to save them, but people who believe on Jesus from the heart, they are sincere. They mean business. And they receive the love of God. And they're in grace. And they have peace. And then as they continue to know the Lord, they start seeing this world for the lie that it really is. And their scope changes. The way that they see things change. They mature in life. But those who love the world system, something worse happens to them. They don't know what to trust. So the enemy give them false opinions against people that truly love God. He give them, just like he'll give them false opinions of God, he can't stop there. He give them false opinions of God's word. Then he give them false opinions of the people that can explain it and the people that learn to understand it and the people that are learning and they know it. I know the word of the Lord to be true. But when I tell people that God's word is true, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is our Savior, he's the only way out of here, according to whatever they've been told, they'll look at me according to how they think. But see, I have the Lord to back up everything I'm saying. He's with me, he's in me, he's for me. And he gives me what to say and when. That's why sometimes the Lord, it seems like the Lord's talking to you, reading your mail. The only things that you and him know about. And he'll use somebody like me to minister to you. That's not an accident and it's not a coincidence. That, my friend, is you're experiencing the love of the Holy Spirit. Because he knows you personally, even if you don't know him, even if you don't believe in him. The Lord knows your thoughts. He loves you too, even if you're not on his side right now. He loved me when I was on the run. I know what it's like to not know God. I remember it. I remember what it's like the days before I asked the Lord to save me. Some people get saved as a child. I got saved as an adult. And I grew up in church. And I wanted to make sure that I would do right. Because I knew that the things of God are important. I happened to have been born in a good home. Parents that love God and they loved each other. See, you can't love God without loving man. And my parents taught me to love everybody. Not just my own race. See, I grew up, I was a baby in the 60s during the civil rights movement. But my parents taught me to love everybody. White people, black people, everybody. And I saw my parents praying for people. They didn't like the things that was going on that was wrong. They didn't like the ways of the Klan, but they didn't hate anybody. And they taught me to value people. And they taught me to love people. And not just people that I like, but people that you know for a fact don't like you. Now, I also started studying the word for myself. My parents lived this way. And my daddy was a man's man. He carried a gun because he was going to protect his family. But he also taught me to love people. I learned to have a strong balance. My daddy was a preacher. And before that, he was a boxer. He learned to box professionally. He was in World War II. He was a sergeant. And in the Army, he was a man's man. He wasn't the kind of person you wanted to fight. But he loved everybody sincerely. I was raised by godly parents. My sister told me that in the neighborhood, he went and bought baseballs, baseball bats, gloves, uniforms for the boys of the neighborhood to play ball. And he taught them how to play baseball. And he taught them how to, and when they get through playing their games, he'd take up all the equipment, put it in the trunk. My mother would wash the uniforms. And then the next time they had a game, they had uniforms and they were able to play. Now, that cost a lot of money. You know, growing up in the 50s. This was before my time. I was born in 63. But this is what my father did. And my mother was a teacher. And she made sure that all the children in her classroom could read and comprehend. And she helped many people prepare for college. They were not lazy people. They were good, godly parents. And they loved God. And they preached out of town. They had to drive out of town every weekend to Utah, Alabama, when I was growing up. And before that, they used to drive in the other direction to Altoona, Alabama, and Collinsville. That's a good hour from where we live, hour and a half from where we live. And I remember Altoona in Cottonsville when I was very young. And then they went to Utah, Alabama. And then they come drive all the way back home and work regular jobs. My daddy worked at U.S. Pipe and my mother worked in the Birmingham school system. And I saw this growing up, raised by good parents. But I didn't become a Christian until I was grown. I knew it was important to take God serious. And I had to get on board with God. So I know what it's like not to know God and to see people that do know God. I learned something. You don't feel what they feel. The way you feel in your heart and the way that a Christian feels, a true Christian now, the way a true Christian has the peace of God in them. And if you've never been saved, you don't have that peace. You never experienced it before, and you don't have a reference for it. And I'm not saying that to shame anybody. I'm telling you, you can be riding on the bus next to somebody that's a true believing Christian. And if you're not a Christian, what you experience is totally different than what they're experiencing. They might be talking to the Lord right now. They may be hearing God's voice. They have the peace of God. God can give them thoughts. And see, I know the difference. I've lived 19, almost 20 years without knowing God. Then I got saved, and the Lord began to speak to me things that was relevant to me. Now, when you believe on Jesus Christ from your own heart, when you love God, see, it takes love. You won't even get saved unless you won't choose God unless you have love in you. And the way we receive the love of God is receive His Word. We love God because He first loved us. Now, start trusting God. Take Him at His word. He loves you. He's reaching out to you. And He's returning. See, the King is coming now. And ready or not is the theme of this year. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. So the theme of this year is ready or not. I don't know when He's coming, whether it's this year or next. But we need to be aware that He's coming, and we're running out of time. So people don't feel the same inside. If you've been changed by the love of God, you've been saved, you believed on Jesus Christ from the heart, you have His peace. Now, from there, you got to choose to walk in it. And you fill your heart with the Word of God. Just take time every day. Read a few scriptures. Give you something to go. You got to go out in the day. Don't go into the battle of the day without the Word of God in you. The Lord may give you a specific scripture that can help you make the best choices that day. That can be key to your success. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. newlivingletters.com. This is a new year, so we got a new audio page. All the wonderful broadcast of last year is on the Audio 4 page. This year's a new year. Ready or Not is on the Audio 5 page in current time. So if you hear this broadcast, you can hear it again. If you hear any broadcast on the radio and you want to hear it again, go to newlivingletters.com. It's on the Audio 5 page. Don't worry about any money. It's all free to you. So it'll download to your cell phone, your laptop. When you click on it, it'll download and go to your download files and listen to it. Now, the Lord is returning, ready or not. We have to, if you love God, don't look at yourself like I did. I put off getting saved. I wanted to make sure I do right. We do have to make up our mind, repent. But I knew how I thought, and I didn't know whether I wanted to do God's word, and He knew that, and He blessed me to hear His word from people my own age, even though my parents, my dad was a pastor, my mother a Christian. Sometimes you need references also from people your own age, and people my own age got saved, and with everything worked together. I saw the life of my parents, the ministry of my father, and then people my own age, other guys that love God. And all of these things help me to know him. And the more I learn of God, the more I want to know about him. Now, ready or not, he's coming. It's important to get on. You got to trust God. Do everything you do for the Lord in his strength, not yours. It's all right to ask the Lord to help you do the things that the words say do. And it's also important to reject the things that God said reject. God loves you. He won't tell you something wrong. You're going to thank him every case, every time that you trust him and take him at his word. One day you're going to see what he sees, and you're going to thank him for guiding you, for helping you to come into the kingdom of God. People don't know what they're gaining when they receive the word of God. And they don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know how things are going to turn out. But when you follow God, my friend, everything works together for good. And you're going to love him. You're going to thank him for all the doors that he closed that you wanted open. And you're going to thank him for the doors that he opened that you wanted closed. Now, it's important to know God. The more you see what he sees, the more you're going to want to know what he knows. And the more you're going to trust him. This is something that you're going to learn for yourself. You have to learn these things for yourself. That God knows what he's doing, that he's got your back, that he's going to help you. Just like the word of God say, when you study the word of God and what God did in the lives of others, you're going to see for yourself that God is good. You're going to be able to respond to his love. The light that he has, he's going to give it to you. And you're going to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Now, it's important to know him, and it's important to seek him and find him. You're going to be in your best condition. See, ready or not, he's coming. That suggests that we're almost out of time. But his love is still there, and it's not too late for you to get on board. Ready or not is an urgent message to let you know you got to get on board. If you're going to get on board now. Because when he returned to the earth, whatever state people are in, that's the state that they'll be in. Now he's going to take his people off the earth. He's going to leave behind the people that he couldn't rapture because they love the world somewhere. It takes the love of God to stay in the grace of God. See, the law, we all broke it, but God gave us grace. If we're going to stay in that grace, we got to stay in the love of God. When you read the revelation that John wrote to the seven churches, the main thing that Jesus talked about was staying in the first love. Don't let anything happen to your first love for God, because the love of God, if you can love God and you love man, you're in the grace. But if you start hating people, you'll walk out of the grace. And you'll be right back under the law because you broke it on purpose. But when you have the only way to fulfill the law, we fulfill the law by the love of God, according to to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John explains the dynamics of the love of God in you. That's how we fulfill the law. That's how we conquer in life. See, you can't overcome Satan unless you submit your life to God. James said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Everybody that say, I rebuke you, Satan, if they playing with the world somewhere, their authority don't work. And the enemy will do anything to keep us in forms of deception. See, he's real too. A lot of people, they don't sense Satan. But if you can sense God, if you can reverence God and know He's there, and you have a relationship with the Lord, eventually you're going to find out that Satan is real too, because he's going to try sneaky stuff, and the Lord's going to expose him to you. Now, I'm being blessed by the Lord. I fight Satan. I contend just to minister God's word. It's a fight. I was explaining to my wife how when I minister at church where other people love God, it's easy. But if I minister at a funeral, people that don't normally go to church go to funerals, and I have to read a scripture or give a word of exhortation or any form of ministry, I have to pray and break yokes, because the enemy that's on the average person's life wants to keep them in foul deception. And I can sense it. And the Lord give me messages that'll break those yokes and set them free. Now, one time the Lord told me, he said, when you know you're going to minister somewhere, bind the spirit of blindness. See, if you have any form of resistance against knowing God, where is it coming from? Consider it for a moment. If you're reluctant in any way to believe on Jesus Christ, study His word, see for yourself what He's saying, where does that reluctance come from? Why do you feel like it's, what's driving you not to seek God for yourself? Now, Christians say all the time that the Lord loves us and He'll be with us, He'll show us things. My favorite scriptures is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Lord who made everything will guide you personally into all truth. Now, why wouldn't a person want to experience the love of God and hear what He would say to them? Why wouldn't a person want to read the stories of the men of God who brought the light of God's word to them? Why do people run the other way when people of God are coming around? What makes people, you know, when you see people that love God come around, and somebody say, here come them Christians again, you know. But then they'll listen to some Jehovah's Witnesses or something like that. There's no power in a false doctrine. There's no power in false religions. There's no satanic struggle against them. But the reluctance that you sense and feel and act on comes from the enemy that wants to keep you dumbed down. He don't want you to know who God is because he's afraid of God and man. If you fall in love with God, you'll see him for what he is, and he can't lie to you anymore. And you'll know that he's lying. And he'll be exposed in your eyes, and you won't fall for his traps. So as you start following God and breaking ground and going forward, and doing the things of God, the enemy will send people to hinder you. If you read the story of Nehemiah, he built a wall in troublous times. His enemy, the king, gave him permission to build a wall and everything he needed to build it with. But his enemies came to harass his purposes. You have to read these stories because this is your business. The enemy's trying to keep you in the dark, my friend, because he hates your guts. It doesn't get any plainer than, what good is it to live a life with deception and not learn God's word, end up going to hell and getting your eyes scratched out by demons? See, people that go to hell, whatever happened to them down there is bowed up to Satan. They didn't want to be in God's kingdom. They didn't trust God. They didn't have faith in His word. They did nothing about their sin condition, and they can't go to heaven at this point. Now, God still loves them. I love people that's going to hell, but I can't, that doesn't help them. And I had a dream one night. I went to sleep one night and I woke up in hell. The Lord took my spirit to hell. I felt the flames. I saw the people falling in. And this is going on all the time. This is reality, folks. If you ever wonder what happens to a person when they die, if they believe on Jesus Christ, they go to heaven with God. If they love the world, they go to hell. Either or. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no place that they can be. Either they're in God's kingdom or they're not. Either they're in God's kingdom or they're not. If they don't know whether they're in God's kingdom, they're not in God's kingdom. If they didn't believe on Jesus Christ, they're not in God's kingdom. If they believe another path, another religion, they're not in God's kingdom. But right now, in real time, the Lord is appearing, my friend, to Muslim people in Iran and Iraq and other countries where the gospel is forbidden to be preached. Jesus is appearing to them personally. Now, this was on CNN News, but I knew it was happening. I knew it was going to happen in 1994. Somewhere between 92 and 94, the Lord talked to me about the fact that the day would come when 1,000 people would get saved every hour. And it started a few years ago. And then on YouTube, Muslim people are on YouTube that have gotten saved because Jesus Christ appeared to them. And then on the news, it said millions of people have come to Christ. Now, this started some years ago. If 1,000 people are getting saved every hour and it started years ago, that means millions of people are being saved. The Lord loves his people. And there are people who have a heart. They don't have anybody to tell them the gospel. See, this is biblical because this is precisely what happened to Apostle Paul that we love. He was a Pharisee out to put Christians in jail and have them killed. And Jesus found him on the road to Damascus. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9. And Jesus knocked him down. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Now, what pricks were he talking about? If you study Acts chapter 7, Stephen preached the word of God to the Pharisee while he was in earshot, listening, holding the man's jacket that was stoning Stephen. And he heard what Stephen said. And the word was still penetrating his heart. And he was trying to resist it, but his heart was soft enough to capture some of the word of God. See, when people hear the word of God, they don't just immediately get on board with God. When that word gets in their heart, it forms a hunger for the truth, and they're receiving it. That's where your faith comes from. That's why some people will believe on Jesus Christ while others reject him. They don't let the word of God get in, and they're not allowing the truth to get in. And the enemy will steal what they don't want. If your heart is hard enough to resist the love of God, the enemy will steal it from you. And if you get saved, a man can get saved, but if the word of God don't ever grow roots in you, the world will challenge that word out of you, and you'll be out of the grace again. This is why you have to keep the first love that God gave you. No matter what happens to you, good or bad, don't. God is not behind your demise. He's not behind things going wrong. He loves you. He will not do you wrong because he loves you. If you love somebody, you don't throw a brick in their face. God's not going to throw a brick in your face. If something happens to you, it wasn't God. And if you seek the Lord out, you're going to learn it. The people you love, you don't throw a brick in their face. You seek to be a blessing to them. And when people don't love you back, you may love people that don't love you, but you don't hurt them. And they may show that they don't care about you, but because you love them, you won't throw a brick at them. So God is the same way. He loves you. He's not going to harm you. He's not going to take your loved one. Just to be doing it. God loves us. Some people are sick and they will die. And we're all going to die. Everybody that Jesus healed eventually died. Understand this. Their lives were prolonged. Everybody that Jesus died, eventually something else happened and they died. They grew old and died. Or they got sick again and died. Or they had an accident and died. Something else happened years after. But after Jesus rose from the dead, they were able to finish living their lives. So when people's time comes, instead of looking at what's not, what did they do before they died? Were they a blessing to you the years that they lived? Think about what God did through them to help you and build your own life. Eventually, you're going to die and leave people here. So it is with all of us. That's why Jesus came to